Veritas Academy was chosen by Niche as the number one Christian and private school in Northern Virginia and third in the state of Virginia. Have coffee with the headmaster every Tuesday morning. Schedule your visit now. VeritasAcademyDC.com. VeritasAcademyDC.com.
Now, from the WMAL WinBet Studios, O'Connor and Company.
Of course, we've done a full coverage here for you moms and dads who are faced with sending your kids to school and potentially having them get suspended because you're exercising your right to keep them out of a mask in the school district. We spoke with Governor Glenn Youngkin just about 30 minutes ago. Check that out on our podcast. It'll be up and available immediately. I think that we made some news with a lot of his answers. But regardless of how this plays out down in Richmond with the Virginia State Supreme Court, moms and dads are making decisions right now on the ground as we speak. Let's check in and follow up with Megan Rafalski. She's that Loudoun mom we talked about. She was featured on Fox News. She's been fighting with her school over her son, wanting to keep her son from having to wear a mask in school. And she is on the ground right now, Megan, again, head of Education Task Force to Take Back Our Schools, ninepillars.org. Megan, what's happening? You're actually at the school now?
Yes, and I'm sorry. I'm going to try and keep it together. But we've just gotten to a point where it's just unbelievable what they're doing to our kids. They won't let my son go to his classroom because he won't wear a mask because he's exercising his right. And they're forcing him to sit in the office. He's been strong-armed and intimidated by his principal and many others. He has a friend that they're sticking together and they're trying to stand up for their rights. But we are not getting any answers. I've tried to call the administrative office. The principal made us stand outside in the freezing cold all morning since 7:30. And all we want is for our kids to be able to go to class with their peers and have fun and smile and learn. And I don't know where else to turn at this point other than to plead with people out there to stand up. Because this is going to continue until we stand together and we start to make change.
Megan, so wait, your child is in the administrator's office right now, and you and how many other moms? You're not allowed in to get to your children? You're outside in the cold for over an hour?
We're not allowed in the building at all. And they said that it's policy that no volunteers, which is not true, no visitors, excuse me, which is not true because there are visitors in the building all the time. I know it. I have friends that have done bulletin boards in the school. So we're now out sitting in the car. My son wanted to go in and be, you know, in school. So they are being forced to sit in the office.
Well, I don't know if you heard Governor Youngkin. He said, listen, this is going to play itself out. And in the meantime, you know, kids should do what the principal says and be respectful and let this thing play out. But ultimately, parents are going to win. What are you going to do, Megan?
I understand that, and I respect that 100%. And that's wonderful to hear. I think we've waited so long, and we were so hopeful, and our kids were so hopeful to go to school on Monday and not be treated this way.
Megan, know that a lot of parents feel exactly the way you do and are frustrated and are at the point of breaking and are at the point of getting emotional. And I feel like a lot of parents listening to this are right there with you.
Yeah.
I am there. I know a lot of other parents are there. Just stay strong. And I'm so sorry that your son is having what you say about him just wanting to go and learn and have fun and be with his friends. That's where a lot of kids want to be. And parents who have to watch their kids be denied, that's very hard.
Yeah, absolutely. I would just plead with all of you. There's a school board meeting tomorrow. They need to hear from us. They are denying our rights. The governor that they've hid behind for so long, executive order after executive order, when it's worked to their narrative, and now they are not heeding and following the governor's executive order. It doesn't add up. This has never been about our kids for them. It's never been about their safety, as we've seen with the rape stuff. It's never been about their education. It's about their power.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Megan Rafalski, thank you for giving us that update. Hang tough there. actually outside her kid's school right now, where her child has not been allowed to go into the classroom. Let's turn now to Shauna Yashar. She's a mom in Fairfax County. Fairfax is closed today. They'll be open tomorrow. Shauna, you just heard from a mom who's dealing with this in Loudoun County. What's going to happen, what happened there, and it's probably going to happen tomorrow for your child who has a learning disability. So this mask thing is a major issue for you.
It is, and oh my goodness, thank you, Larry. Thank you, Julie, for having me on this morning. And that just that story just broke my heart. Apologies, I'm a little choked up by that, that she's being forced to sit out in the car. I mean, we are following the process. Parents are looking at this and trying to get some guidance. I mean, Fairfax County in particular put out such a confusing message last week. You know, nothing in that message from, you know, Superintendent Brabrand discussed or referenced the executive order at all. It's conspicuously missing from that, you know, statement. They say that they're going to, you know, adhere to their dress code policy, which is really kind of rich, honestly. I mean, they've never adhered to the dress code policy before.
Right, but, I know. We were joking about that earlier. It's like, oh, well, the mask, it's the dress code policy. Seriously, now you worry about the dress code?
A mask and a half shirt. A mask and a half shirt. Yeah, sure.
Exactly. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous and pretty comical, honestly, for them to think that that's what they're going to stand on. But okay. So we're, you know, we're following the process, but it's not clear. Like, it's not clear with what Superintendent Brabrand put out whether or not, you know, that they're going to honor the executive order, you know, opt-outs, which I think that they should. Just like that mom said, you know, they hid behind the executive orders from, you know, the previous administration, and several school districts did not agree with those executive orders, you know, especially in Southwest Virginia, but yet they followed them because elections do have consequences.
That's right.
You know, one thing that was said by, you know, one of the members of the Falls Church School Board, actually Lori Silverman, if anybody gets a chance to listen to her comments, she doesn't like this executive order. It's not in line with what she thinks that they should do, but she absolutely said elections have consequences and we need to honor it.
That's great.
So I encourage people to listen to those. I mean, she's definitely not in favor of it, but that's really where we're at.
Yep.
You know, you've talked a little bit about your son. He's 9 years old, and you said he's dyslexic, and it's really hard for him to hear particular sounds and distinguish other sounds in the alphabet. You know, everyone acts like, oh, it's no sweat, no big deal. These school officials say it's no big deal to wear a mask, but it really does impede learning. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. I mean, I've mentioned this to the school board multiple times. I've spoken in front of the Fairfax County School Board. I've pleaded with them since November, once Governor Youngkin was elected. I mean, they knew that this was coming. They needed to have a plan. But, you know, masks are not harmless mitigation measures. They don't work for every single child. My son is severely dyslexic. He cannot hear all the sounds that are being, you know, said by his teacher because that is muffled behind a mask. He can't see the lips move. I mean, dyslexia education really is a overall, you know, uses every sensory in your body to really understand how to read. And that intervention needs to happen really young. Yeah. We found out that our son was dyslexic during the pandemic. We found out in March of 2020 when we were sitting at home with him and saw what was happening. So he has been delayed on his intervention treatments and therapies since that time. I mean, yes, we've made do with Zoom sessions and masking sessions and, you know, everything that we could, we put all of our power behind it, but it's not the same as a full sensory experience that he needs to have. And we're not in 2020 anymore.
Right.
You know, it's time
we know
to
better. Exactly. We there's no mystery around this. You're so right. We had to leave it there, Shauna Yashar, but you're so right.
Okay.
And parents of special needs, if I need to hear one more ableist parent out there or teacher say, oh, children are resilient, screw you, until you raise a special needs child who has to deal with these, like Shauna Yashar and like myself, you have no business telling me that my child is resilient. I know what my child can deal with. Shauna, hang tough. Let us know how it goes tomorrow. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Larry. Thank you, Julie.
Bet.
Have a good
Anytime.
Day.
Anytime.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the Road to a Podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching the Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.